All right, guys, you are locked on Fullbacks, and I am your host, Aaron Freeman. And today we are talking about the Atlanta Falcons fullback position in our continuing series to look at each position group and preview what the upcoming battles and storylines and things to watch out for that are coming in training camp.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, guys, you know me, Aaron Freeman, founder of FalcFans.com, one of the longest-running Falcon websites on the internet, of course, at FalcFans on Twitter, and of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. So today we're talking Falcons fullback position. Again, as I said at the top, we are continuing our positional preview series, looking towards training camp, which is now about a month away. As you are listening to this, I think the Falcons' first or second practice is July 26th or 7th or something like that. And we're going to be talking about each position group, and we're going to devote an entire episode to the fullback position, as we often do on this podcast. This is probably like the 7th fullback-centric episode I've produced in the last, 12, 15 months? So, yeah, man, it's what we do here on Locked On Fullbacks. So let's jump right into it. I think, the question with the fullback position is at, the big storyline is it's a toss-up. Who's going to win the job? Who's going to be the guy that hopefully will emerge as a competent, probably replacement level, but at least, quality replacement level? I don't know. Are there levels of replacement level? Is there a good replacement level and a bad replacement level? But a functional NFL starter at that fullback position that, won't be the worst fullback in the league and maybe be below average. So that's the big question entering this summer. And, we're going to be focused on this battle, and it's going to be the most heated competition that we've had, probably that we've had at that position in a number of years, as well as probably going to be the most heated competition in terms of looking at the entire Falcons roster as the fight for that job. And, of course, that's right up in my wheelhouse because it now means that I will have probably 7 more fullback-centric episodes over the next 6 weeks as we get geared up for that. But, we haven't really had this open a competition, I guess you could say, since 2015 when DeMarco was here, coming off of his first year in Atlanta, and the Falcons under the new coaching staff and Dan Quinn brought in Colin Mooney. And it really was a toss-up at that point between those two guys. I think DeMarco had the slight edge and I think functionally played better, and Mooney got hurt, and so that sort of ruined it. But you can play the what-if game of, what if Colin Mooney hadn't gotten hurt and where would we be at the fullback position right now? My beloved Patrick DeMarco. And it's interesting because the fullback position basically breaks down as that 5-year period of time when Ovie Mahaley was the Falcons fullback. And then like the year since then, when it's just been basically the Falcons just throwing gunk at a wall and hoping something sticks. And I think that is embodied in this year's competition more than we've seen in recent years. And, I do think Ricky Ortiz, as I've mentioned before, the guy that we picked up from Baltimore, he was a former undrafted free agent last year out of Oregon State with the Ravens. I think he's the front runner. I think watching what he did last summer in the preseason games I saw of the Ravens versus what I've seen from the undrafted candidates and Daniel Marks and Luke McNitt and what they did at Nebraska and at Stanford and Nebraska respectively, I feel a lot better about Ortiz's abilities and a lot more optimistic. But at this point in time, I would say if it's a 3-way competition, I would say it's probably like 45% chance that Ortiz wins it, 35% chance that Marks wins it, and then whatever the remainder is, I guess 20% chance that McNitt wins it or something like that. Give or take, a couple of percentage points or something like that. That would be where I would sort of split it at in terms of the odds. But who knows? It might be closer to 30-30-30. So we'll see. I think one of the reasons why I personally like Ortiz, or at least, one of the reasons why I think you can, at least as a Falcon fan, maybe get behind him a little bit more is his versatility. The fact that he played tight end and linebacker during his days at Oregon State, in addition to fullback, That tight end experience, you know, you assume that makes him a little bit better as a pass catcher. That linebacker experience, you assume, can translate to him being a little bit more valuable in terms of covering kicks on special teams and whatnot. So we'll see if that actually comes to fruition. As I said, it's really anybody's spot, but at this point, I'm putting my money on Ortiz. I think what's going to be the real interesting dynamic with this group is really going to be how the reps are divvied up. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But first, I do want to plug LockedOnSports.com, the one-stop hub for the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find NFL, Major League Baseball, and NBA content. Again, LockedOnSports.com, your team every day. So I think what's going to be interesting, as I said, is how the Falcons really sort of divvy up the reps. Because with a three-way competition, it kind of is a little bit detrimental to the team. We haven't had the Dan Quinn coaching staff have three fullbacks on the roster, at least going into camp. We had three fullbacks on the roster for a chunk of last offseason when they had Soma Vainuku in addition to Derek Coleman and Tyler Renew. But they cut Soma Vainuku in June or so, about a month ahead of camp. And, we've only really had to carry two fullbacks into camp, although going back and doing some research, you know, in those post-Ovie Mihaly years in 2012 through 2014 under Mike Smith, having three fullbacks going into training camp was a regular occurrence under that Mike Smith regime. But the interesting thing about that was you would often have a situation where you would have two guys really competing for the job, and then the third guy was some undrafted free agent who was an also-ran, who was just kind of a guy that would play in the fourth quarters of those preseason games, and that would be about it. Really wasn't in, and would most oftentimes be that one of the guys initially cut in that 75-player cut down, which they don't no longer do. Now it's just from 90 to 53 in one fell swoop. But the point of me bringing that up is because, you know, I'll be curious to see how the Falcons handle that. And whether we'll get a similar dynamic where it'll be two of these guys, and, you know, at this time, if I was guessing, it would be Ortiz and Marks, maybe the two front runners, and then McNitt as an also ran. But you could really divvy up that that combination any way. And whether or not that third guy really is kind of limiting the effectiveness, or at least the ability of the Falcons to make these guys more effective, and the value of these limited snaps they have. And I'll explain that by, you know, you go back the last couple of summers and the Falcons have split, you know, the fullbacks, at least in the preseason over the course of four games, have split roughly between like 56 and like 70-ish, 75-ish snaps, somewhere in that range, so like 60, 70 snaps or so these last three summers. And when it's Patrick DeMarco or Derek Coleman, guys that have, you know, multiple years of NFL experience, them getting prepared for the regular season is not that hard with only, you know, 25 to 30 snaps or so. You know, and that's really, you know, as a side note, for veteran players, the preseason is just really just guys like, okay, let me just get back into, you know, the shape I need to be. And it's, you don't need preseason reps necessarily other than just to get ready for the regular season. For the young guys, preseason reps are really important because they're still developing and still trying to figure out things and the scheme and whatnot. But once you've been in the league long enough, you know, you just basically give him a couple of series, let him get hit a couple of times, let him run a couple of plays, and he's good to go. He's ready to go for the regular season. It was particularly for guys like Coleman and DeMarco that were in the league for three, 4 years before they arrived in Atlanta. Or DeMarco was in the year for like 2 years, and then it's been a year in practice squad. Anyway, doesn't matter. But I digress. The issue is if you now have a three-way split over, say, let's say, you know, 60, 70 snaps, all of a sudden each one of these guys is only getting 20 to 25 snaps over the course of three or four games, which amounts to maybe 6 to 8 snaps a game. And for guys that have zero NFL playing experience, is that enough? Is 25 snaps enough for Ricky Ortiz, who's never played an NFL regular season game? Is that enough for Daniel Marks? Is that enough for Luke McNitt? And you do wonder, even if you double that and say it's in going from 6 to 8 per game, to 12 to 15, you know, is that enough? And it's, the other factor is, you know, can this coaching staff really evaluate these guys one against the other off of 8 snaps? You know, like sometimes in 8 snaps, one player will emerge and have one or two positive plays. But what if each one of them has one positive play? What if each one has no positive plays? Is it just basically like one or two negative plays is going to decide who wins this position? And so that's one of the big questions with this fullback battle, is because they have three guys brought into camp and there is a limited number of snaps to go around at that fullback position, are the Falcons really putting themselves and those players in a position to be successful, not only from their own evaluation standpoint, but also to get these guys prepared for the regular season? Because, you know, who knows how many snaps they're going to play in the regular season. Last year, I think Coleman averaged about 14, if I'm not mistaken. The low end of the fullback position in the league last year, at least for a guy that played every game, was Keith Smith, who saw about 8 snaps per game. Keith Smith for Dallas and now with the Raiders. And so, like, if you're asking me, are the Falcons going to utilize the fullback as much as they did last year? You kind of say no. I don't know. Like, there's reasons to think no, but then there's also reasons to be like, it probably won't change all that much. But let's split the difference and say it's like 10 or 11 snaps a game. You know, while 10 or 11 snaps a game isn't a huge, huge amount, it's not necessarily the same as playing 50 snaps a game. But you do wonder if, you know, playing 6 to 8 snaps in 3 or 4 preseason games is going to prepare you to be able to play, you know, nearly a dozen snaps over the course of 16 regular season games. And some of those games might be 20 snaps. Some of those games might be 5 snaps. Who knows? And so that, to me, is going to be the big question. And sitting here today, I don't have a promising answer. But it is one of those things that I do wonder. And it's one of the reasons why I still have some lingering questions about what the plan is at the fullback position. We talked about this in a May episode when we talked about the Falcons fullback position. That was pre Ricky Ortiz being signed. And there are just still these lingering questions. And, you know, I don't know what's going to come of it, and we'll see. And we'll, you know, certainly I will be invested into it. And if you're listening to this podcast come August, you will by default be invested in it because I'm going to be talking about it. And of course I have a microphone, so you guys have to listen to every word I have to say. I don't really know what's going on. And it's not to say that it won't work out, I guess is maybe the point I should leave off before we move to the next segment. But like, I don't know what's going to happen, but if you're asking me on paper, is this going to work out favorably for the Falcons? 3-way split, no experience at the position. And are the Falcons going to get good production out of this position this year? I would say on paper, most signs are pointing towards no. But then I guess it begs the question, do the Falcons really need to get production out of the fullback position? And that's what we'll talk about a little bit in a moment. But I do want to go ahead and plug Locked On Hawks, the podcast hosted by my good friend Brad Rowland, who we had on not that long ago talking about the Hawks' offseason plans. And they just recently had a draft. Head over there, check out their draft content as well as the free agent content that is upcoming in the very near future with Brad Rowland. Again, that's Locked On Hawks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Do the Falcons need to have high quality play for the fullback? Probably not. It's not going to make or break their offense. You know, and I know that sounds different from what I was saying last year. I think the problem with losing DeMarco wasn't necessarily that, man, if they had Patrick DeMarco, the Falcons would have, you know, scored 30 points a game and they would have finished the season 13-3 or anything like that. That was never my intention of what I was trying, the point I was trying to illustrate. The point I was trying to illustrate with the whole losing of DeMarco and what not having that caliber of player at that fullback position is it was really destabilizing to the Falcons offense. And particularly when you had Sark coming in, and particularly in those early half of the season where there were multiple games, arguably 4 of the first 7 games, where the Falcons really struggled with lack of identity. And there was a lot of criticisms where it didn't seem like Sark really had a full grasp of what he wanted to do and what he was trying to do, and then going about and executing those things. I think having a stabilizing force like a Patrick DeMarco would have been a great benefit to the team in those particular games. And then, you know, as the offense improved and Sark seemed to have a better grip on things, could have led to better success in the second half of the season. Slight, not monster success, but slightly better success in the second half of the season, because you would have had much more tools to work with, so to speak. And the reason I say that with the whole notion of destabilizing force is because when you're an offensive coordinator that's sort of kind of, you know, flailing about, the one thing that you knew that the Falcons could do well was they could line up in their 21 personnel with the fullback, Patrick DeMarco, and whether it's Devontae Freeman or Tevin Coleman, they could run the football. And that was something that would be a stabilizing force. Like, I don't know what exactly, you know, basically put yourself in the headspace of Sark. I don't know what I'm doing, but I know that this works. And I know that if I can do this and force teams to present, you know, when they see that fullback, they're thinking run. And then I can start to take advantage of certain coverages and certain defensive looks. And that was really sort of, you know, if you want to distill the Shanahan success into sort of one basic point, is it's presenting a look, getting the defense to react, and then exploiting that reaction. And, you know, whether Sark would have been able to achieve that to the same degree of Shanahan, I think it's highly dubious. But the point is, without that element to your offense, you didn't have a foundational aspect to your offense early in the season that you could say, like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know this works. And I think when you're an offensive coordinator, and the way I would explain it, when you're an offensive coordinator calling plays in several of those games, clearly seem to be a little bit overwhelmed by that those duties, or a little bit out of your element, having that sort of foundational aspect of your offense that you can, that tried and true, reliable aspect of your offense, makes your job a little bit easier and certainly adds some value to your offense. Whether it would have led to the Falcons, you know, being this super potent offense, no, I think that's kind of silly. But would it have improved the running game? Absolutely. Would it have improved the red zone offense because it would have made the running game better? Absolutely. Would it have improved their ability to convert in short yardage? Absolutely. Now, would it have led to huge spikes in production in those categories? Absolutely. Probably not. Almost certainly not. But would it have improved them 5%, 10%? Sure. And all of a sudden, we're not necessarily having as many question marks about Sarkisian and his ability to handle things, maybe. You know, maybe 5 to 10% less questions. You know, how much does that matter? Who knows? But I do think the fullback position can be important for this Falcons offense. I think the one thing that you will say in Sark's favor and in the offense's favor this year is one hopes that now that Sark has gone through sort of that buzzsaw in the first year, or the gauntlet, run the gauntlet in the first year, he'll now have a better grasp on things offensively and the things that he wants to do. And so whether or not the Falcons have poor fullback play won't be as consequential this year as it was last year, because he'll have other avenues and other ways of attacking and exploiting defenses and presenting things to defenses that he can then exploit, which, you know, arguably could be more three wide receiver sets. And so I do wonder what the Falcons, how the Falcons are going to handle this fullback position this summer. You know, I could spend another 15 minutes talking about Sark and what the Falcons' plans are offensively, and maybe I'll save that to another episode once we get closer to August, where we can really sort of talk about, you know, really dig deep on these expectations going into into this 2018 season. But I think one of the interesting things we'll have to monitor, at least in far as this year goes, are the Falcons going to use more fullback in the preseason, just so they can get themselves enough reps for these guys to really evaluate and really come away thinking that they, the best guy, you know, the most deserving guy, actually made the team. Because we know, you know, going back to that DeMarco Mooney battle, that going into that final preseason game, it was kind of even. I personally thought DeMarco was slightly ahead, you know, just because he was a more proven commodity than Mooney was at that point. But, you know, it was at that point going into that game, anybody's battle. And Mooney had every opportunity to potentially win it until he got injured. And I do wonder if you know, we're going to have a similar situation where this coaching staff is not going to really know what it has at that fullback position going into that final game, and may or may not come out of that final game feeling overly confident. And for that reason, I do think more so than many of the other positions that we will be talking about in future episodes, that the fullback position is one that is ripe. Is the word ripe or rife? I have no idea. Ripe. Let's go with ripe. That seems makes sense in my rife. Rife is not the word. That's not the right. Right is ripe for the Falcons to still be scouring the waiver wire come late August, early September, looking for maybe a veteran fullback that doesn't necessarily need the reps, you know, and can just sort of be a plug and play sort of guy in the event that none of these guys, whether it's Ortiz, McNitt, or Marks, emerge. You know, this episode, I guess, you know, that's really all the thoughts I really have about the fullback position. And we didn't really talk specifically about Ortiz or Marks or McNitt in the same way that we'll talk about individual players in upcoming previews. But a lot of that does have to do with the fact that we don't really know what these guys are. You know, Marks and McNitt are two middling undrafted free agents that, you know, wouldn't have been drafted. Even if, you know, fullbacks were regularly drafted, they weren't really on the radar as far as draft possibilities go. But, you know, they're functional enough to get NFL looks. Obviously, Ortiz was in the same boat a year ago when he signed with the Ravens. One hopes that, you know, after a year of practicing and being in the NFL and getting some work, that he's better prepared to take advantage of the opportunity that he'll be having this summer in Atlanta. Assumes that the Falcons wouldn't have signed him in June after the rookie minicamp if they didn't really believe in his ability. So, again, I think signs are pointing towards being a little bit more confident and a little bit more optimistic that Ortiz will be the better of this trio. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that he's going to be good, right? You know, so it is one of those things. We'll have to see how it goes with these three guys. And again, the reason why I can't really break down these individuals because they're just such unknown commodities at this point in time. So that's really all I have to say about the fullback position. You know, I could go forever on Sark and how valuable the fullback position is to the Falcons offense. And I won't. I'll save that for another day. I'm sure many of you still are not convinced, you know, that the DeMarco thing was as big a deal, but it's fine. You know, go about your days. I mean, just go watch the 49ers and how they use Juszczyk and tell me that wouldn't have been a valuable asset in the Falcons office. It certainly wouldn't have changed the course of the season, but certainly would have added small improvements here, there, and everywhere all across the offense and stabilized it a little bit early in the season. But that's my take on it, and I appreciate you guys tuning in for another training camp preview. And if you didn't hear on yesterday's episode, we did talk about Ron Parker, the new safety that the Falcons added at the top of that show. We'll talk more about Parker in the coming weeks, particularly when we get to safeties, you know, probably like 2 weeks from now. But, yeah, he's a good player. For those that just want the cliff notes, he's a good player. He's a solid, versatile piece. He'll be a backup strong safety. I wouldn't say that's really his ideal role, at least as far as our use of that player and the way that we use the strong safety. But he is one of those safeties that would be good as sort of a interchangeable safety for teams that like safeties that are interchangeable in terms of you play deep, you play middle, you play in the box, you play in the slot, you can cover tight ends, you can do all those sorts of things. Parker can do those things. And that is very similar, or at least closer to how the Falcons use a strong safety than they do the free safety. But I think, you know, he'll be asked to cover tight ends. He can do that probably better than he can cover wide receivers at this point, which hopefully he won't be asked to do that too often. And we'll see. You know, the Falcons got a lot of good pass-catching running backs that they're facing this season. And I mentioned three teams in particular: Green Bay, Pittsburgh, and New York, the Giants, that utilizing dime against those teams, I think, makes a lot of sense, particularly the Giants and the Steelers, just because Le'Veon Bell, you kind of have to treat those guys like wide receivers. And we saw last year with the Falcons sort of using Keanu Neal specifically to try to match up with Alvin Kamara. You know, and having a guy like Parker where you can have that flexibility to sort of go, let's put a cornerback, which is Parker and, to a certain extent, cornerback-like safety. Let's put that guy on this guy. I think it makes a lot of sense, but that's a conversation for another day. I'm sure we will be talking about those matchups come September or October, whenever they actually happen. Yeah, that's it, guys. I'm done talking, I'm done rambling. We'll have more content dealing with the Falcons position groups. We will start our NFC South series very shortly. As of this recording, I don't know exactly what day that is, but I'll make a decision and you guys will find out. And you will listen to our NFC South offseason review and 2018 season previews, where we look at all three NFC South teams. Any additional feedback you can provide to me on Twitter at FalcFans. If it's podcast related, just let me know in the tweet. If it is podcast related, just go ahead and send it over to Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. Of course, you can check us out on Facebook, Locked On Falcons, as well there. Email address is lockedonfalcons@mail.com. And you can leave a comment at lockedonfalcons.com or falcfans.com, where the show is posted daily. So until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.